Amen. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. We think about Daniel and as we think about that, he had haters. And what I want to, introductory remarks, I didn't get them to the team in time, but it is right to be hated for doing wrong, but it is wrong to be hated for doing right. And Ecclesiastes says that there is a time to hate. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8. It is a time to hate evil. And we need to know that as we live in this world, that we are going to be encountering people who don't particularly care for us. We're going to be involved with some people who don't have our best interests at heart. You're going to be in a world where you got haters. Tell your neighbor you got haters. And, oh, there'll be those who play like they like you. It's called flattery. Flattery is insincere praise, but it comes to further one's own interests. Someone will flatter you in order to further their own interests. And they will play like they like you. But that is something that is significant. To have a hater is to have someone who, it means to have a great dislike for a person. Amen, a hater. And the aim of our sermon is for us to see that God is the one and only one who is the ultimate supplier of all of our needs. He is the one and the only one who is the ultimate supplier of all of our needs. And as we look at this, we think about Darius and we think about Daniel. We think about King Darius. Verse 1, we think about him, and what I want us to understand is King Darius was a good king, but he was a gullible king. And he was in charge of the government, the world power. We think about King Darius, what we find out basically is we say that he was good because a person is known by the enemies he made. And he made some enemies. He had some. We know that he was good because he liked Daniel. And Daniel made enemies of persons who hated him. So we know he was good, but he was gullible. He made the mistake of buying in to Satan's plan. Verse 7 tells us that all the princes of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have concerted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree or order that whosoever asks petition of any gods other or man for 30 days, say thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. That word den in the Hebrew means pit. I mean, Aramaic means pit. And so therefore, we know that this was a pit. Not like a den, but it was a pit. And so he was gullible in that after he had set up 120 princes, according to verse 1, he decided to set three additional presidents over the princes in verse 2. And that was for the purpose of overseeing the welfare of these 120 princes to make sure they were doing things like they should. And Daniel, according to verse 2, was the first one of the three presidents. And what this did, the Bible tells us that Daniel was preferred above, or he had proven himself to be capable above all people, all of the princes and all of the presidents. Daniel had proven to be capable, and this king made good judgment because he desired that he was really wanted to thought about putting Daniel over the whole realm. And we find out that this created some haters. Amen. And these presidents, according to verse 4, sought to find occasion against Daniel. Concerning the kingdom, they tried to find something wrong with his work so that they could charge him for his administrative duties being administered in a wrong way by which they could charge him against the king. They kept looking and they kept looking. They tried to find fault in Daniel, but they could not find anything. Matter of fact, his integrity was beyond question. The more they dug, the worse it got. Daniel was faithful. Daniel was loyal to the king and definitely to God. And they concluded that, you know what, if we're really going to get this guy named Daniel, we're going to have to find something wrong with his faith. We're going to have to put Daniel, according to verse 5, in conflict with the law of God. We're going to have to make the law of the land be in conflict with the law of God, because you're not going to get Daniel on anything else. Unless we can make a law that'll make him, he's not going to be disobedient to this kingdom unless you put in front of him a law being obedient to God that conflicts with the kingdom. He said, the only way we're going to get him is, isn't that good for somebody to say, you know, the only way we're going to get this person is so devoted to God, you're going to have to get involved, create a conflict with his faith before you get him put in jail. Anybody in here been put in jail for good? We can't get him condemned on nothing bad. You have to condemn him on something good. And he said, except we find against him concerning the law of God. You won't get Daniel. You won't get him in trouble. But if you mess with his God, you will get in trouble. Amen. Amen. You create a conflict between the law of the land and the law of God, and Daniel gonna stand for the law of God. Right today, they can pass laws all they want to, but if they pass one that contradicts the Bible, we're supposed to go with God. Daniel was an unusual person. He he came there. Amen. Well, let me get to that. The thing is they concluded that they would have to find something wrong with Daniel. And so that's why they came to King Darius with this statement, which was false in verse 7, because they used the word all, and Daniel was not included. How could you all go to the king about having a meeting about making a law and say, we all want you to do it, and Daniel wasn't present? They conspicuously left Daniel out of that meeting. Amen. Daniel did not get called to that meeting. And yet he was the president over the 120 princes. And he was preferred above the other two presidents. How could they leave Daniel out? They were lying, weren't they? They tried to get the king in a corner and get him to approve something. People are so manipulative, aren't they? They said they came to the king, according to verse 6. They assembled together to the king, and they said unto him, King Darius, live forever. See, this is that flattery they're doing, see. Oh, King Darius, we want you to live forever. All the princes. All the princes of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and captains, they've all gotten together, and they've concluded that you should make a law that no one should be caught praying to anyone besides you. They should not. You ought to issue a royal statute, a firm decree, an order. Whosoever petition or pray to any god or man for 30 days, they should be cast into the den of lions. King, you're a good king, and we want to make sure everybody is. See how they're setting it up? And they played like Daniel. Hey, let me get on. And so what happened basically is the king made a big mistake. He did not, he was not a Christian, so he didn't pray about it. He made a hasty decision. And once that law was made, according to verse 8, it could not be changed. It would be the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it changed or altereth not. And the king signed it. He was a gullible king. He did not recognize that he should have stopped to think about, was this really everybody? Daniel was not in there, and Daniel should have been the one calling the meeting. But he was a gullible king, and he did govern them. He was in power. He did have the authority to do what he did. But once he did it, it was irrevocable, even by the king. The king could not even revoke it if he signed it. Let me get on. I'm short of time. The truth is that Daniel, we studied this, and I want us to see how I want us to look at Daniel's devotion and Daniel's deliverance. Amen. And Daniel's dependence. We may not get to all of it, but the truth is that we want to look at the fact that Daniel was devoted. Daniel, the Bible tells us, prayed 3 times a day. The Bible tells us in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, you know what he did? Did he stop praying? He went home, and his window was open to Jerusalem, because the Bible, Solomon said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Yes. Solomon had concluded that anytime you pray towards the temple, your prayer would be answered. Because that's where the ark was. And his windows were open eastward. Although he was in Babylon, he could go to his window, and the windows were open, and he could pray to his God. And he based it on the promise that if my people, they all had that same mentality, that when you pray toward the temple, your prayers get answered. And so Daniel prayed like he did. The Bible tells us that he kneeled, there he was. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, prayed and gave thanks to God. And as he did aforetime, for his concern, nothing changed. You know, made a law that contradicts my prayer life, forget it. I'm going with God. They knew what they were doing. His enemies knew Daniel by the good he would do. Amen. Amen. His enemies knew Daniel by the good he would do. They knew that Daniel was going to be praying. And they knew that we're not going to get him convicted over nothing. We got to make a law that's going to contradict with his prayer life. But this man prays 3 times a day. This speaks about the importance of prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Let me get on. The truth is that Daniel, the law brought him in conflict with the Persian, with the law that had been made by Darius. And all they had something to work with, didn't they? Amen. Daniel was so devoted to God, he did not change his prayers simply because a law said you could not pray to God. Amen. Daniel is a bad boy, amen. A good boy, amen. And he says, and you know what? In verse 11, they caught him praying. Amen. It's good to be caught doing what you ought to be doing. Amen. I was go by the hospital, and I noticed one of the mottos up there at the Seton Hospital of St. David's, where they talk about the fact that we're concerned about caring people, caring about people. And then they had a motto up there that said, caught caring. Amen. Y'all didn't get it. Caught caring. Amen. You need to be caught caring, doing what you're supposed to do. They taking care of people. And so he says that they went and reminded the king. And notice how they talk about him in verse 13. Amen. They said that Daniel. See, there are some rumors about this. Many theologians write about that. They really did not like the elevation of one that was Jewish amongst the Babylonians. Daniel, you could say, may have been deported. He was there. He was not in Jerusalem. He was away from his home. He was there in Babylon. And the Babylonians, these Babylonians did not like the fact that he was being promoted. And he was a Jewish captive. How's he going to come to our country and make that kind of progress? It's not going to happen. But the king knew that Daniel was good at what he did. And he concluded that he really needs to be over everybody. Oh, wow. He's going to be just second to me. He was outstanding, the Bible says. Daniel had good qualities when you study him. He was very well disciplined. He prayed 3 times a day at the same time. Daniel's work was good. Oh, Daniel was promotable. It didn't matter if he was from here or not. Amen. But you got haters. They said that Daniel. They didn't say the president. You know, he was their president. They should have said President Daniel. But no, they said that Daniel, you see how they come out, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the order of the decree that thou hast signed, but make it the petition 3 times. He's still praying. That Daniel. You know how folk do when they don't like it. They talk of it. They get all ugly in the face. They call your name, but they don't do it. You know, you can read. They didn't like him, did they? They didn't like him. They did not like Daniel. They didn't like him. That Daniel. Daniel, the Bible says in verse 3, was of an excellent spirit. He was of an excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit. And the thing I like about Daniel is that Daniel, irrespective of it was his spirit. He had an extraordinary spirit. Another translation says that Daniel had extreme quality, extraordinary qualities that no one. And they said that Daniel, and I don't want to wreck. I may not get to this other part to the next service. But let me just simply say this. Why did they hate him so much? When we study the text, what we find out is they came and said, all the presidents want you to sign this law in verse 7. And then you go back up to verse 4 and you find out they were final occasion against Daniel. But nobody said what he did. Nobody said why they hated him so much. And, ultimately when I finish is Judah and jealousy. But the truth of the matter is that they did not find. And then, when you can't find them, you have to keep going backwards. You know that. If you lose your glasses, you got to back up. You say, where did I lose them at? And then you got to go back. And you go up and you find out in verse 3, that is, Daniel was preferred above the princes of the presidents and the princes because he had an excellent spirit. Now, that meant that he had exceptional qualities. So, have you ever had a case where people will just stir up all kind of trouble because they don't like nobody? And they'll bring one story when it's really not that. They just don't like them. Now, what they'll do is they will just stir up all kind of trouble. They don't like nothing they do. They don't like, they can't do nothing right. They can't. The people haven't changed, have they? When the truth of the matter is, what made these folk hate on him so bad? What made them hate on him? They were jealous. They had a jealous spirit. People may be jealous of you because of your brains, because of your body, because of the benefits you bring. People will downright hate you. And they will go tear up an organization. They will go tear up a workplace and play like it's about what they're talking about. When the truth of the matter is, they just don't like that person. They're haters. God gave him that gift. Now, they will ruin the organization over their jealousy. They won't say, well, let's put the kingdom first. Daniel does have the best. Daniel is good at this. No. They will bring down a whole kingdom. Forget about what this job is all about. We don't like her. We don't like him. We just don't like. And what God wants is ain't important no more. I'm important. We don't like him. Now, if you put our guy in, we'll support it. This church could probably get, well, I ain't going to say that. I know. But the truth of the matter is that you have to be careful about that jealous spirit. Because it'll ruin families, it'll ruin churches, it'll ruin jobs. People are jealous. They got a jealous spirit. And they were pulling this guy down who had done nothing. I wish I had time to get into the fact that he had interpreted the dream. Later on, he was a prophet. He was a minor prophet. And he had interpreted the dream that prophetically spoke of the coming kingdoms. And none of his people could interpret the dream. They couldn't even, and the king couldn't remember the dream. But Daniel was a guy, he was so close to the Lord, he didn't even have to know what the dream was. He could remember the dream for the king and interpret the dream. God gave him the gift.